Think about his love. Think about his goodness. Think about his grace that's brought us through. For as high as the heavens above, so great is the measure of our Father's love. Great is the measure of our Father's love. Think about his love. Think about his goodness. Think about his grace that's brought us through. For as high as the heavens above, so great is the measure of our Father's love. Great is the measure of our Father's love. Think about his love. Think about his goodness. Think about his grace that's brought us through. For as high as the heavens above, so great is the measure of our Father's love. Great is the measure of our Father's love. Think about his love. Think about his goodness. Think about his grace that's brought us through. For as high as the heavens above, so great is the measure of our Father's love. Great is the measure of our Father's love. You, my Lord and King, praise your holy name. Love you, God Almighty. Glory and honor, worship and praise to you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. You may be seated. Praise him. Let's sing chorus number 194, Jesus, Name Above All Names.
Jesus, name above all names, wonderful Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God is with us, blessed Redeemer, living Word. Jesus, name above all names, wonderful Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God is with us, blessed Redeemer, living Word. Jesus, name above all names, wonderful Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God is with us, blessed Redeemer, living Word. Jesus, name above all names, wonderful Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God is with us, blessed Redeemer, living Word.
Love you.
Hallelujah.
Praise Him. Thank you, Lord. Let's sing chorus number 173, I've Been Redeemed.
I've been redeemed by love divine. Oh, glory, glory, Christ is mine. To Him I now reside.
Praise God. You may be seated. Let's sing chorus 322, We've Got the Power.
We've got the power in the name of Jesus. We've got the power in the name of the Lord. Satan rages, we shall not be defeated. We've got the power in the name of the Lord. We've got the power in the name of Jesus. We've got the power in the name of Satan rages, we shall not be defeated. We've got the power in the name of the Lord. We've got the power in the name of Jesus. We've got the Satan rages, shall not be defeated. We've got the power in the name of the Lord.
Glory and honor and praise to you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Love you, my Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Let's sing chorus number 312. Victory, victory shall be mine.
Victory, victory shall be mine. Victory, victory shall be mine. If I hold my peace, let the Lord fight my battles. If I hold my peace, let the Lord fight my battles. Victory, victory shall be mine. Victory, victory shall be mine. Victory, victory shall be mine. If I hold my peace, let the Lord fight my battles. If I hold my peace, let the Lord fight my battles. Victory, victory shall be mine. Victory, victory shall be mine. Victory, victory shall be mine. If I hold my peace, let the Lord fight my battles. If I hold my peace, let the Lord fight my battles. Victory, victory shall be mine. Victory, victory shall be mine. Victory, victory shall be mine. If I hold my peace, let the Lord fight my battles. If I hold my peace, let the Lord fight my battles. Victory, victory shall be mine.
Praise God. You may be seated.
I'm also so thankful to be back in God's house, and I just can echo what my sister said. I'm so thankful for that time that God gave us to spend together and how beautiful it was. And as a parent, when you're both your kids don't live here, it's such a blessing when you get to spend time with both of your children at the same time. And it was such a blessing to have both of my children and my grandson and my sister and Ava. It was just a beautiful time to be together, and we had so much fun, and the weather was great, and we did a lot of traveling and a lot of road trips and, you know, time on the freeway. And I'm just thankful that God kept his hand on us and kept us safe through all of that. And I am very thankful for my two nieces that held down the fort here and took care of my very high maintenance dogs. I am very blessed with wonderful nieces that did that for me, and I'm very thankful. And thankful for, you know, God helping us in the travel. The baby was not the best traveler you ever did see, and I know that my wonderful niece Stella was putting up prayers and prayers and prayers for God to be with him, and our trip home was so much better. And I thank God for that, and for the, you know, family members that love you and pray for you and help you. And I'm also so very blessed, and I love him tonight, and just ask you to worship with us as we sing.
Mm-hmm.
turned into wine. Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. None like you. Into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you.
Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God. Into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. None like you. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer. Awesome in power. Our God. Our God. God is greater, our God is stronger, God, you are higher than any other, our God is healer, awesome in power, our God, our God. And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against?
What could stand against?
What could stand against?
What could stand against?
Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God, our God. And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? If our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against?
What could stand against?
What could stand against? Could stand against?
What could stand against?
Lord Jesus, praise you, Jesus.
Praise you,
love and adore you, God. Praise you, my God.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Worship you,
Lord.
Love you,
my God and King.
Praise God. You may be seated. Let's sing Course number 102, I Can Be Glad. I can be glad, for my hope is in the Lord. For he gives confidence that this world doesn't know. He's the Lord of all creation. Whatever the situation, I'm glad, for my hope's in the Lord. I can be glad, for my hope is in the Lord. For he gives confidence that this world doesn't know. He's the Lord of all creation. Whatever the situation, I'm glad, for my hope's in the Lord. I can be glad, for my hope is in the Lord. For he gives confidence that this world doesn't know. He's the Lord of all creation. Whatever the situation, I'm glad, for my hope's in the Lord. I can be glad, for my hope is in the Lord. For he gives confidence that this world doesn't know. He's the Lord of all creation. Whatever the situation, I'm glad, for my hope's in the Lord. Bless your name, my God. Hallelujah. Praise God. You may be seated. Praise Him. Let's sing our last song, chorus number 198, before we hear from the Word of God. Jesus, we crown you with praise.
Jesus, we crown you with praise. Jesus, we crown you with praise. Love you, adore you, bow down before you. Jesus, we crown you.
God, will you stand with me tonight for the Word of God?
I love that song that Stillwater sang tonight. There is no God greater, is there? Our God is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords that leads us and guides us. Praise Him for blessing us when we go on our travels, watching over each one of us, blessing that time that He gives us with family and friends. Welcome back to those who have made it back. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for that. I just can't thank God enough for this precious family and how He leads and He guides and watches over us and allows us to work together in a way that brings Him glory in whatever we do and everything that we put our efforts into to reach out to this community. Thank you all for joining us tonight, both here and those online. Welcome to the Apostolic Assembly of Jesus Christ. We've been studying in the book of Acts, chapter 13, and we're about to close on that. And there's just been so much information, and it still astounds me when I go into just a scripture or a group of scriptures and really look into it, how much meat and how much information there is there. Whereas if you just read the chapter, you kind of don't get much. You mean you get from it, of course. But as you look into it and you chain out to other scriptures, there's so much more that we can learn day by day. That's why He tells us to study His Word. That's why He tells us we learn line upon line, precept upon precept. So if you'll turn with me tonight to Acts chapter 13. We are reading in verse 51 and 52. Verse 51, but they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. So our question tonight, let's just start with this first question. What does this shaking off this dust of their feet represent? And I'm sure if any of you have looked into this, there's a few scriptures that kind of tell us why they did this. And what it meant. Does anybody want to start us tonight? Sean's got the mic. Thank you, Sean. Lori, thank you. These words are important for us to learn and know.
Well, there are several scriptures, but the one that I went to, or that I'm going to bring out right now, is Matthew 10:14. And it was Jesus that said that anyone who would not receive them nor hear their words, which is the word of God, when you depart from them, from that house or that city, you're supposed to shake off the dust of their feet. So Jesus told them to do that. And it's basically turning away from. If they don't want it, then you turn away. It's like, what is it? There's another scripture. I'm sure you'll get to it, and I'll leave it there.
There's a few of them. And any of those that have looked into this, I'm sure you've found those different scriptures. So if you want to contribute, thoughts? Anyone? Rick, you want it? Thank you, Rick. Rick? Oh, Teresa?
Matthew? I'm sorry. I didn't think Sean seen me put my hand up.
Thanks, Sean, for taking care of me.
Helpful. It's in Matthew. I was going to say, I think it's 10:12 or 12:10, something like that. I read it anyway. And it talks about where Jesus told them this is what he wanted them to do. And it was a way of making like a statement against the town or the people or whoever it was, they're shaking their dust off. So,
yes.
I think of the other scriptures about if the peace departs, then go with it also, and the word of God is not for debate. So you bring the word of God to somebody, they reject it, like Lori was talking about, you go your way, and it makes me think of, you know, like a saying, like, I wash my hands of it, too. I mean, you've done what you could, but if somebody rejects it, you know, you're not going to debate and argue, and if God's peace isn't there, you move on to the, you know.
Amen. Jocelyn too, but go ahead. You're over at Janie's. So.
I was just reading the same passage that Teresa was talking about, and it's Matthew 10:14-15, and it also says that God said that assuredly it'd be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in that day than you.
That's a strong statement. What a fearful place to be.
Well, I was just going to read the scripture like before that. Is that okay?
Yes, please
okay.
do.
Matthew 10, it's still the same one that we're talking about here. Matthew 10:11, and into whatsoever city or town you shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till ye go thence. And when you come into a house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it not be worthy, let your peace return to you. And then 14, and whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet.
Thank you for that, Jocelyn. That was the first scripture I had written down here. There's so much. If you read this whole chapter here that we've been looking at in Matthew chapter 10, Jesus is sending out his disciples. And he knows ahead of time what they're going to encounter. And it's the same for us. He knows who we're going to meet. He knows how we're going to be received. And fortunately, everybody's not like this. But does that matter? I mean, we can't just be afraid to put it out there, because you can't just look at someone and say, they don't want God. Because if you'd have looked at me, you would have said, there's no way that young man wants God. But God looks on the inside, doesn't he? But the important thing to know is, when we come to this situation, when do we stop? I mean, the Spirit will let you know when someone doesn't want to hear anymore what you have to say. If anything, they're just arguing or whatever it might be. So you got to be in tune with God's Spirit, not only for those that want God and want more of God, but those who don't want God and know when to just turn away from that. I want to turn, if there's any more, do anybody have some other scriptures? Sue, thanks, Susie. I'm working on it. In case you didn't know, she likes to be called Susie. Now you're all aware and you're all accountable.
Just not Susan, anything but Susan.
Susie.
Yeah, anything but Susan. Well, we're, it's almost like, and I don't mean to put people that you would witness to in two separate categories, but in a way, you know, you can be, God can bring you somebody that doesn't know about his word, is curious about his truth, opens that way for you to witness to them. But it's kind of a next level concept that I find in Galatians, the first chapter, verses 8 and 9. And it's really, really strong language when it comes to delivering the gospel and the way that somebody might respond to the gospel. And as we know in 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, we're saved by the gospel. So the death, burial, and resurrection as your beginning of life in the New Testament is super important. It's so important that it says here in Galatians 1:8-9, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And then he repeats it in the same, the next verse. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. So I just think of it as, I mean, this is really, really strong language. It's very specific, and it's very, in a way, uncompromising. And it's not referring or dealing to somebody, again, that has a love for the truth that just hasn't been developed, they just haven't heard. But somebody that wants to bring you their doctrine, any other gospel, that's what he says in black and white right here. So he's saying, let them be accursed, well, it speaks for itself. There's no way around it. So God is very clear about about what he expects in terms of the obedience to the gospel and how that begins your whole walk in God in the time that we live in.
Amen. Anyone else want to add to this? Let's turn to Let's turn to Acts chapter 18. And we're going to be reading verses 5 and 6. While you're turning there, I looked this up to kind of find out some information on what this dust was symbolic for. Dust had a significance for Israel in the early church. One of them was throwing dust on their head as a sign of mourning or sorrow or repentance. Number two, though, shaking off the dust from the feet was a sign of having no further responsibility for the area where the dust was picked up, thus leaving that area to God's judgment. And as we see here, that's what they were doing. We see there were certain Jews that were rejecting what was being brought to them. So we are here in Acts chapter 18, and we're going to read 5 and 6. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, "Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth, I will go unto the Gentiles." We know he'd been going to the Gentiles for a while at this point, but he just must have felt that burden that there's this group of people. He didn't know if they'd ever heard it. He wanted them to hear it so that he wouldn't be held accountable for not having told them. And when they reject Christ, remember, they're not rejecting us. When you're bringing the gospel to God, when you're sharing the power of the Holy Spirit that you've received and what that's done in your life, if they don't want it, if they reject it, don't take it personally, because it's not you that they're rejecting. It's God's word. And then we just put it in God's hands, right? I mean, in the end, it's God that judges. Amen? It's not us. We don't know the heart. We don't know if down the road maybe somebody you've witnessed to will come back or come and start asking questions. Let's turn also to Luke chapter 9. We're going to Luke chapter 9. And we're going to be reading verses 3 through 5. Verse 3, and he said unto them, "Take nothing for your journey, neither staves nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece." When Jesus sent them out, he sent them out with just what they had, clothes on their back, to see who would receive them into their home, who would receive them in and hear what they had to say. Verse 4, and whatsoever house you enter into, there abide, and thence depart. Verse 5, and whosoever will not receive you, when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. And as we saw, this happens. It really does happen, and it happens today. I can only think of one time. We used to go out every Saturday in different groups, two by two, spreading, going door to door and taking the gospel to people. And I only remember one time in all those times that we did that I actually felt like the response that we got from those people merited, because I already knew this scripture, even though I was very young, merited shaking the dust off my feet off. I think the Spirit lets you know. I mean, Spirit bears witness with spirit, whether it's truth, amen? And it also bears witness with, like Sue's saying, Anybody that's bringing you something false, it's according to their own ideas or their beliefs, but not according to the Word of God, because it is the Word of God that we stand on. Let's turn to, what do I want to turn to here next? Well, that scripture in Matthew, I want to go back to Matthew chapter 10. There's just one point I want to make on that. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 14. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. And what I focused on here was that we depart from them. We leave them. We get away from them. There's no point in staying around and trying to debate with someone who does not have any desire for the truth. If they don't want to hear God's word, his truth, his salvation, just don't waste your time and go on, because he will lead you to someone else who wants to know this word. Paul and Barnabas, as we see here, they had brought this truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ to this city, and there were certain Jews. These that we know the Jews were children of God, right? Called, they were children of Abraham by their bloodline. But unlike Abraham, what did Abraham do when God called him? What did Abraham do when God told him, just take what you've got and just go? Did he question? What did he do? Anybody remember what Abraham did? We call him the man of faith, the father of faith. He just went, didn't he? He didn't ask where or when or how. Or a lot of times my grandchildren, they're not here tonight, I wish they were, I would say, get your stuff on, we're going to go to town. And they want to know where we're going. I don't always tell them where we're going. God doesn't always tell us where we are going. We want to have the same faith that Abraham had. We want to have the same faith that Barnabas and Paul had here, to go where he wants us to go. Doesn't he tell us, don't worry about if you're brought before someone. Don't worry about what you're going to say, because God's Spirit will lead you. God's Spirit will guide you. I was thinking about this. They had these people that were rejecting this gospel that Paul and Barnabas were bringing. They even had not only the Old Testament scriptures, the prophets that told them that Jesus was the Messiah, but even in the New Testament, remember when Jesus was brought into the temple as a child? Even in their day, when they were alive, there was these prophets that spoke of this child, that this child was going to be the Messiah. How blessed that must have been. We know it was Simeon and the prophetess Anna. How blessed they must have felt to have known that this was the child, the Messiah that they were waiting for. How precious it was, that opportunity they had. But these Jews, they denied that Jesus was the Christ. They denied, even though if they had looked into their scriptures, if they'd had a love for the truth, because certainly they knew the scriptures, they would have been able to tell that this Messiah, Jesus Christ, had fulfilled all the prophecy. But yet they rejected it. They didn't want to hear it. Another person I thought of was Stephen, the first one to be martyred. He was trying to give this gospel to these people. And we know the Apostle Paul was there at that time before he was called by God. So there's an example of someone who rejected it. He was even there when they stoned Stephen to death. But when God got his attention and he realized that this one that he was persecuting was the Messiah, he changed, didn't he? When God calls us, when God called you, didn't you realize at that moment that this was truth? Couldn't you? I mean, many of you have testified you've been to different churches, and it wasn't until you saw the simplicity of the death, the burial, and the resurrection, and the power in the delivery of that message, that you knew this was real, that you wanted this. So because they rejected this truth and refused to hear or receive this opportunity of salvation, because of their unbelief, they had this custom: shake off the dust of their feet as a testimony against them who rejected God's truth. And here, those who rejected the gospel of Jesus Christ, these certain Jews, not all of them, because we know there was a lot of people there that actually listened, heard, and received that precious gospel. Paul and Barnabas were declaring they would have no more to do with them. They were putting them into the hands and the judgment of God. What a fearful place to be. To find yourself put out there, and that you no longer have that promise of what God has for you. We never want to put ourselves in this place where we question or we have lack of faith in God. Also, what a fearful place to be to try and intervene or hinder someone else to receive this precious truth. Those who do want to follow and obey God's word. We see that too. Were they not only rejecting what was being brought to them, but they also wanted them out of the city so they couldn't tell other people? Is that not true? Amen. That's what they were doing. We want to be fully on board with God. We want to remember to put God first in all things. We see here that Paul and Barnabas are expressing their contempt for these certain Jews for rejecting Jesus Christ, putting them in the hands of God, disavowing their responsibility. Definition, they were disavowing their responsibility to these Jews. They had done all they could. They'd given them the word of God, yet they refused to hear. So when we share this gospel of Jesus Christ with others, when we cast our bread upon the waters, there will be those who will reject it. But also there will be those who will receive it. So for that reason alone, I know it says, I was thinking about this today when I read this scripture, cast your bread upon the water, and it will not return to you void. I've always thought, well, no matter who I give it out to, it's going to come back. Eventually, they're going to listen. But that's not always true. You spread the gospel to whosoever will hear it. And then in time, eventually, some of that will take fruit. Eventually, someone will listen, someone will hear, someone will follow. We have that example of the good ground, and we know that not all ground, it doesn't take root in everybody. But as long as we cast that seed, as long as we cast that bread upon the water, eventually there will be those, we are living examples of that, who will come in and receive what God has offered. So the next question here is, go back to my first page here. Any other comments before we go to this next question? Yes? Please, Kirsten. Thank you.
You put a couple things together there that I think, for myself, I have to keep really clear.
you brought out, for example, you know, someone like Simeon, so who the presence of that prophecy of who Jesus, who Messiah was going to be, and the ways that Jesus fulfilled that. And so one of the other verses there, if we look at the beginning of Matthew, when he sent them out in that chapter 10 of Matthew and elsewhere, it says, I think it's verse 5, says, don't go to the Gentiles, don't go to the Samaritans, don't just go to the, I think he calls them the lost sheep of Israel. Yes. And they, you know, we've talked about this many, many times, but like this is a really concrete example of, because we have it here in Acts, that Paul and Barnabas went to the Jews first. We see that over and over. They go to the Jews first, and then they start talking to other people. And we're going to see it over and over again. And the Jews were prepared ground. And that's what makes their rejection different from someone who's never heard anything, is starting at the point of, you know, they live on a planet, so they know something happened to make it, their life exist, but they don't know anything about the God of the Jews. And so when Paul and Barnabas and the rest shift to that, all of a sudden they're dealing with a totally different equation. But God held the Jews responsible for the things that they had had the benefit of and that they had to bring to bear when they heard the gospel. They were prepared ground. So when that seed was sown, it should have been recognized for what it was. And then that put them in this category of, well, their rejection was different from someone who basically doesn't, is hearing it for the first time, has all kinds of who knows what issues going on, who says, no, I don't want to hear that, or, you know, you must be crazy, or whatever you hear from people. And it's just different. It's a different category of rejection when it came from the Jews, who were the prepared ground. They were the chosen people who God had already planted every single seed that he could possibly give them so that they'd be ready for this. And so it's like, you know, it's just a different situation than most of us are going to encounter talking to people today. They may come from a background, but they don't know what the Jews knew. It was different. It's just a different body of knowledge that God held them responsible for. So they were responsible for that, and Paul and Barnabas couldn't be responsible for them anymore.
Amen. Thank you for that insight there, Kirsten. It is so true that they were given the law, they were raised in the law, and the understanding of God's word. And it's surprising to me that they so easily rejected it, because that's what they were. A lot of those folks who were gave their whole life over to, they lived for God. I mean, they went through the rituals, right? They did go through the steps and the sacrifices. But to not recognize that the Messiah that they'd been looking for all these years came and was able to be that perfect sacrifice, that blood sacrifice, that they no longer would have to have the blood of animals to roll their sins ahead. It's just mind-boggling to me that they'd even just rejected this in the first place. Side note, just thinking about they knew the word of God. So they were held accountable, weren't they? Because they knew the word of God. And I just think of us, and for most of us, we've been here a very long time. Most of us know this word very well. That puts us in a place, maybe we're not in the place where we're just being born again, we're just receiving the gospel. But we are in a place where we know right and wrong. We know holiness and we know unrighteousness. We know what is sin and what is not. And so it's very important for us to examine ourselves. I know I mentioned this Sunday, to examine ourselves, to look for those things that we have not yet overcome, those things that he brings to us one at a time. Fortunately, he doesn't just, when you receive the Holy Ghost, he doesn't just show you all the things that are wrong with you. We need a lot of work. When we first come to God, we need a lot of work. We need a lot of things fixed, dents and chips in the paint and broken glass and motors not running. I mean, we need a lot of work. But he just takes one thing at a time. He shows us one thing at a time. So we want to hold very dear this word that he gives us and choose to take time to look into it and to apply it to our lives, because ultimately we want to be like Jesus Christ. And these Jews, you would have thought they were going through all the motions of the law. You would have thought when they would have realized the power has come, like that song mentions tonight, the power that is in God that you can receive to overcome and to make those changes you want in your life, to be holy as he is holy. You would think that they would want that. But I think we mentioned recently in some of these Bible studies, they're worried, more concerned about the power they had, the status they had, you know, leader, who they were in the community. None of that matters when it comes to God. What matters is that you're pleasing him. What matters is that you're looking to his word. And when he shows you something, you're making those changes. It's only been 30 minutes, but I think I'm going to stop here because I don't think we can give enough time to this next question. So I'm going to leave that for whoever's teaching next week on this joy that we're... What does it say? Why were the disciples filled with joy? So there's not enough time to really delve into this and to get all the way through it. So I'd like to leave that for whoever's teaching next week. Any comments or statements that you'd like to make before we close tonight? Make it early so we can get out. We can have time at this altar and enjoy this, go out and enjoy this sunshine. That's it. Thank you for your participation. The musicians want to come up. Find a place at this altar tonight. Give him praise and give him thanks and worship him.
Randy just said this altar is open. Our God is here for us tonight. Won't you reach to him? Just come and love him and seek him for what he has in your life. He's here for us. This altar is open tonight. He is my everything. He is my all.
See?